Thank you, Brother David. Take your Bibles, please, if you will, and turn with us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We do have a few more books, and let's see, I don't know. Brother Robert is he's out and about. There may be some that could help us. We have some folks that don't. Thank you, Brother John, and anyone else. We have books back there in the back corner. In just a moment, they'll have those, and that'll be a great thing to follow along. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to welcome you. Anyone visiting in our class, we introduced Brother Randy a few moments ago. I'm not going to make you come to the pulpit and do anything if you're visiting. I could do that. Yes, sir. James, good to have you here, sir. God bless you. Jorgensen's grandson. All right. Who else? Anyone else visiting? Anyone else visiting? Yes. He's from Tallahassee? Oh, going to school. Well, wonderful. Well, great. Well, God bless you. School is starting. Anyone else? Don't want to overlook anyone? We'd love to make you feel welcome and know who you are and where you're at. Thank you for being here today. All right, if you don't have a book, if you raise your hand, they'll put one of these books in your hands. They're coming down the aisles right now. When you see them come down the aisle, just flag them down, and they'll give you one of these. 1 Corinthians 12, Striving Together in the Body of Christ. Don Shaw was talking with me yesterday evening, and he was telling me about this new procedure thing that he started. He said, you know, my right foot, I think he was saying his right foot, he said for years, he has just, when he would walk, he would kind of have that John Wayne swagger, you know. He just kind of, but it was to cover up something. He said that his foot wouldn't work. One of his feet, you know, wouldn't bend. And so he used his whole body to kind of lift that leg and swing it, you know. And so people kind of made fun of him how he would walk and things. He said, look at this. And he came up the stairs like this. He said, look, no hands. He didn't have to pull himself up. He said, look here, I'm walking. Look at, this is working again. Now, if you have a part of your body that is not functioning, and then all of a sudden it starts functioning again, that's a cause to rejoice. You know, I'm thankful that I do have, at this point, I do have 10 fingers. I do have 10 toes. And they work pretty well, you know. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I have ears that hear and eyes that see. And all of these things, you know, I'm so blessed. There are people who are paralyzed. People who have had parts of their bodies have to be amputated and all that kind of thing. But when we have a body and all of its parts work, that is a huge blessing we take for granted sometimes. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find that the Lord equates and compares the church to a body, to a human body, where God has put people in that church to do certain things that will benefit and bless the church and help that church to be effective and help it to have an outreach. And so although this is spoken of in the Word of God other places, probably no place in such detail as in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look please with me at a few verses in this chapter as we begin this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 12, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, no division, no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Members. Everywhere that this body goes, my thumbs go. Everywhere this body goes, my feet go, and my kidneys, and my lungs. Now, those you don't see, but I need them. I need them to live. And there are people in this church that if they left, it would leave a huge hole. It would leave a terrible deficiency in this church because they do some things behind the scenes that perhaps very few people understand and know the importance of, but God does. And so in this passage here, the unity of the body, striving together, the Bible tells in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the encouragement of the what? The body of Christ. Now, it's not talking about necessarily Jesus himself. It's talking about the representation of Jesus in this world. That is the church. That is us. We are his representation. Now, for 33 and a half years, he was here in the flesh. And he ministered and he impacted the world. And he presented the Father to the world. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be marvelous if we could say, if you have seen Volusia County Baptist Church, you have seen Jesus. Now, that's not always true. It's not always true about Mark Sears. It may not always be true about Volusia County Baptist Church. But that's our goal. That when people see us, that they see Jesus. Our body is a reflection of him. And so we find here in the unity of the body, striving together as a body, together. Roman number one, the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 4, please. The Bible says that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, capital S, the same Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the indwelling person of the Godhead that is within every believer. Verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given, verse 8, for as one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame, say it, Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will. As God the Holy Spirit wills. He gives gifts, abilities. He empowers us to reflect the body of Christ, to represent Jesus in a way that we could not do in and of ourselves. I'm glad for that, aren't you? If it was up to me to be like Jesus, I would fail every time. Every time. But if you turn the coin on the other side, by the power of the Spirit of God, I can, through his strength and through his grace, I can represent, if I take my hands off and follow his leadership in my life, I can represent the Lord Jesus Christ through his power every time. In my flesh, I would fail. Every time. Walking in the Spirit, I will succeed every time. You say, well, that's pretty positive thinking. No, that's truth. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the Bible says. So the ministry of the Spirit, Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. To wait. Wait. That's one of the hardest things for human beings to do. Why? Because we think our schedule is very important. Why should we have to wait? If you ever gone to the doctor's office, they have a thing called the waiting room. It's a waiting room. They named it accordingly, truthfully, you know, and at least they're honest. Yeah, just have a seat in the waiting room. We'll be with you in just a few minutes. This is a man, this is a lady who has studied and worked and all their life prepared so that they can one day be a help to us as a physician, as a doctor. They are important. I want them to take time with me. And so likewise, they're going to take time with the guy in front of me. You know, that's just the way it works. If we have respect and understand for a human being, certainly, certainly, we should have respect for the Lord Jesus Christ and wait on Him. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Waiting on Him. Now, Jesus said, yes, there's a lot of things we need to do in presenting the gospel and all that kind of thing. You just have seen me ascend to the Father and all that, you know. But He said, go and wait on the Spirit of God. Hear me, please. Before we witness to someone, we need to have the Spirit of God filling us. Not just indwelling, not just inhabiting us, but controlling us. Giving us the words to say. Holy Spirit, I need Your direction. Please control me, fill me. I yield myself anew and afresh unto You right now. Help me. To have the right attitude and compassion. I want to represent Jesus. You do it through me. That kind of a person, surrendering our hearts to the Lord, God's going to do wonderful things through that kind of an individual. So waiting on the Lord, waiting on Him, on the ministry of the Spirit. Letter A, He provides the miracle of unity. Verses 4 through 7, diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The miracle of unity. Now, unity is not unanimity. Okay? It's not necessarily equality. In order to have unity, it doesn't mean that everybody has to be a cookie-cutter Christian. Everybody has to have the same Spirit and the same spiritual gift and the same attitude. No, no, no. He brings us all together like the parts of a body, and then He empowers us to do something that if we were all fingers and toes, we couldn't see where we were going. If we were all eyeballs, we couldn't do anything. We'd see everything, we couldn't do anything about it. And so He blends us together with His power, His blessing, and he masterfully, miraculously gives us these gifts, and so someone steps up and does something, and then someone steps up and does the next thing, someone steps up and does the next thing. So ultimately, there's no big heroes. The one we worship is Jesus Christ. If there were some super Christian who had every spiritual gift and just was, you know, a home run hitter at everything in the spiritual life, and, you know, we just all said, man, I want to be just like, you know what would happen? What happens today and a lot of times in this media crazy world, everyone would flock to follow and be like him or her. But you see, God gave us just enough so that we can all have an impact and we can all have a part and we can all be blessed in His service. But so that as the ground is leveled at the foot of the cross, we praise the Lord Jesus Christ and we worship Him and Him alone. So that's a very important thing of the ministry of the Spirit of God, and He puts people in. That's why when God, it's a spiritual thing to join a church. It's a spiritual thing to say, this is my church home. Because if God brought you here, then God brought you here for a purpose, for a reason. Please, don't ask people to join a church because they like the music. Please, don't ask people to join a church because they love the facilities or because they love the ministries. Please don't ask people to join a church because they have a great children's program. Please, Don't ask people to join a church because they love the preaching. Now, it's wonderful if God uses those things to bless their hearts. But they need to join a church because God has, in essence, transferred them in. Said, this is where I want you to be. Because then God has a reason for you being here. And if God has a reason for you being here, then you better do it. Amen? Find what it is God wants you to do. It might take 3 or 4 months to figure that out. But in time, you should find your slot where you fit in. Now, he provides a miracle of unity. Letter B, he provides a mosaic of giftedness. You ever seen a mosaic? I hadn't really noticed mosaics until I went to Israel. I know we have mosaics here and things, but I really didn't notice them and see the magnificence of them until I went to some of those sites there in Israel and I saw the mosaics on the floor and how they even made maps sometimes out of mosaics and all little bits of pieces and things and so carefully and meticulously put together. It would just look like a pile of junk if it was just all in a pile. But someone with great skill took it and put it in place so that when you step back, you see a beautiful picture. When they step back and look at Volusia County Baptist Church, wouldn't it be marvelous if they saw a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ? That is the goal. That is the goal. Verses 8 through 11, for to one, verse 8, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another the gifts of healing, so on and so forth. List all these gifts of the Spirit. If you would, please hold your place there and turn to Romans chapter 12. Turn back to Romans chapter 12. We're in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn to Romans 12. This is not a study on spiritual gifts, but it is something that's necessary in understanding how the body is fitly put together by the Spirit of God. And God enables us to do so that none of us can say, well, I just can't really do anything. I just come and, you know, God doesn't really want to do anything through me. No. In fact, I will say this, that when God saved you, that God has promised to give you at least one spiritual gift. At least one spiritual gift. You might even have more than one. Now, according to the Bible, it appears very clear that no one is going to have all of them. But you might have more than one. But you can bank on this. You'll have one spiritual gift at least. Romans 12, let's look please at verse 6. The Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And it goes on, let love be without dissimulation, and so on, and gives some practical applications of these gifts, some practical applications of our Christian life. You'll notice that the sign gifts, you'll notice that these spectacular sign gifts are not listed here in Romans chapter 12. There's some reasons for that. Mark chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. Let me deal with that. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. In the early church, before the New Testament was written as the confirmation, as the authority, the ones who spoke the truth of God had to be confirmed. Let me illustrate it this way. When I was in Chattanooga visiting my parents this last time, my mother had been going through some of her things. And she handed me this. She said, here, you might want this. I looked at it. This is my birth certificate. I know of someone who would like to have had one of these years ago, the highest office in the land. But anyway, um, But this says, this is a certified copy of the record on file in the Canton City Health Department, and it has the date, and it has the local registrar, and it has something when you feel it, it has something that almost feels like Braille. It's a seal. Now, this seal gives the authority that this is a real document, that this is true. It says that I am who I say I am. That's what it says. Okay? Now, in the early church, before someone could say, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Before someone could say that, the truth of God was still given. And so God confirmed and gave sign gifts confirming that they were who they said they were, that what they were saying was true. And God gave these gifts to the Jews. The Bible says the Jews required a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. And as the Bible indicated clearly that these gifts would run out, these sign gifts. But then there were some who would be permanent. And here in Romans chapter 12, here's a list of permanent gifts that we can bank on, that we know. And here's just some thoughts. The prophecy has to do with preaching and discernment. Let me give you this verse here. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. Not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Today, in our realm, tongues are a challenge and difficulty today, just as it was in the early church. Why? Because people love to talk. They love to be heard. I've heard it said, someone in my family has said this. He just talks to hear his head roar, you know. But in the early church, there were folks who were misusing this thing of tongues. And there was counterfeit going on, even in the satanic world. Anything that God does, Satan is going to try to counterfeit it and pervert it for his purposes and his uses. Well, we find here that the Bible says that tongues are assigned to those, not to those that believe, but to those which believe not. And yet, in churches that embrace tongues, we see it going on in the church amongst those who are believers. And the believers are saying, wow, that's wonderful. They must be filled with the Spirit of God. Wait a minute. The Bible says that is not a sign for the believers. Believers are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Believers have the precious Word of God to confirm all truth. We don't have to have those sign gifts to confirm what the Bible says, confirm what is being said. So let's look, please, though, at what God definitely is giving to us to use. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, we read those. Prophecy, preaching, and discernment, we think of these thoughts about the gift of prophecy. The gift of ministry has the idea of helping, serving, behind the scenes. Someone who does not want the spotlight. I've had people say, I'm going to do this, but please, whatever you do, don't mention my name. I don't want any recognition. Please, please, I'm doing this for the Lord, and I don't want anyone to know about it. Now, that's kind of rare. I'm not saying that you have to always, you know, say that. But that is indicative of someone who has the gift of ministry. Next, the gift of teaching has the idea of helping others understand truth. You ever heard someone that could take a very complicated verse of Scripture and explain it in such a way that, as they say, they take the cookies and they put them on the bottom shelf where everybody can reach them? That person more than likely, has the gift of teaching, helping to understand biblical truth, others to grasp those things. And then the gift of exhortation has the idea of encouragement. Encouragement. This is someone you just love to be around because they always find some way to lift you up. Always some way, not to butter you up, but to encourage you. Sometimes it's a strong encouragement. You know, hey, I missed you. I missed you on Sunday night. You missed a great service. You know, when you're not here, there's a vacuum back there. You know, I really miss you. You're special to us. I just wanted you to know that. Now, they made you feel good. They encouraged you, but also they asked you to step back into that place of faithfulness. So the gift of exhortation, and that's something the Holy Spirit does through you. The gift of giving has to do with generosity. And we spent some time on that. But there are some people who it is not a challenge for them. You know, there's not an argument. They don't debate whenever it comes time for the offering. It's saying, Lord, what can I give? They just and so because they had that gift, it seems like that God then just takes a steam shovel and dumps into their coffers because he knows that God is going to be able to depend upon them to minister in the church through generosity. And then the gift of ruling. That's not a dictatorship. That has the idea of administration. Organizing people. You've seen folks that can just get folks and all involved and spin plates and keep them spinning and all that kind of thing. They seem to have this gift of administration or ruling. And then the gift of mercy. Gift of mercy has a thought of compassion. Compassion. I've heard an evangelist say this. And this evangelist was a phenomenal preacher. I mean, he's the kind of guy that preached the word of God with thunder, and then he could get a group of people laughing, and then he'd get them crying, you know, one of those kind of tearjerker stories, and then nail his point home from the word of God. Just a great preacher. And he said this. He said, you know, I could never be a pastor because I do not have the capability to sit in a hospital waiting room with someone and just waiting for, he's all the time moving, you know, all the time has to do something. He did not have that gift of mercy, be able to show compassion. Now, the Holy Spirit takes these gifts that are mentioned, there are seven that are mentioned there. The Holy Spirit takes at least these and some other spiritual gifts and implants people in the church to be a blessing. You might say, Lord, if I don't know what my spiritual gift is, I'm going to serve in some capacity. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to seek godly counsel. I'm going to ask you, Lord, to reveal to me. You don't have to have some survey or some test that some man has put together in order to reveal the spiritual gift that God has given to you. You don't have to do that. You see, the church didn't have those things for the past hundreds of years. Didn't have that. But the church had the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal. And then others will confirm what God is doing in your heart and your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 says, but all these worketh at one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So, don't get upset If you're thinking, wow, I wish I had the gift of prophecy, but it seems like I have the gift of mercy. Don't get upset. God knows what he's doing. He knew exactly what you needed. He knew exactly what he needed you to do in the church. Romans 9:20 says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Lord, did you know what you were doing? The Lord will say, yes. I know exactly what I'm doing. So the ministry of the Spirit, how he serves in our life. Now think about that. God ministers. The Spirit of God ministers, serving us. Something seems wrong about that. We ought to be serving God. But yet He gives to us. From His grace, He gives to us. What a great example, so that we say, Lord, You have given Your all for me. And You give me one thing to do. I'm going to do it faithfully. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I'm going to ask You to strengthen me. Some of us may have been watching the Olympics. And I happened to see some of the runners last night. And I was watching this one race. And all of a sudden, there was this guy who was back in the pack there. And they had been running a good while. And he was not in first place. And he came in the home stretch, the straightaway. The finish line was right up there. And all of a sudden, he poured it on. How in the world he did that, I don't know. I mean, you'd think that he was completely spent. And there was another guy who obviously was spent. And he ran out. And he slowed down. And this other guy, boy, he poured it on. Listen, please. If there's ever a time to pour it on, it's now. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. It's not time to sit back in the recliner and put our feet up. Spiritually, it's time for us to put our armor on. It's time for us to report for duty. You say, well, I can't really do anything. Hogwash. The Bible says that He's gifted you with a special spiritual ability to do something. And He picked it out just for you. So, say, Lord, You show me. And until You show me, I'm just going to get busy doing what I think I can do. And along the way, You're going to reveal to me something that You have enabled me specially to do. It's going to be like a hot knife through butter. You ever do that? It just whoosh. And that's when you're filled with the Spirit of God, doing something that God has equipped you to do. It's going to seem very easy to you. Listen, please. I close with this thought. There's a lot of people who are better preachers and better teachers than I am. A lot of people. I could name just... Okay? But if you knew really my nature, if you understood what I have been like growing up and throughout my life, if you understood that, then you would be as amazed as I am that I can stand up here and can proclaim the Word of God and to attempt to teach His truth in any form, in any capacity. You'd be amazed at that. Because I'm not built that way. I'm not the guy who did well in speech class at all. And yet the Holy Spirit of God brings things to my mind as I need them, and He now, I have to study and prepare and get my thoughts together as the way that God wants things to be presented, all of that, yes. But when it comes down to it, God enables me. And He will enable you to do what He wants you to do as well. Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, the truth of Your Word, and help us in our study here, Lord, to realize that we're part of the great victorious army. And You've called us to serve in a wonderful capacity. Help us now to please You, to be faithful, to be dependable. And Lord, we love You for what You're going to do through us. In Jesus' precious name, we ask these things. Amen. God bless you for being in Sunday school this morning. We'll start in 15 minutes.